We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. So, the Monday press conference show is running a little bit behind today. We had basketball. So we'll catch back up with Chad McKee later in the week. Oklahoma wins it, dramatic fashion, the greatest, largest comeback in Sooner football history. Final score, 34-31. Don't miss the podcast, the Sooner Sports Podcast, live tomorrow with Toby and I. We go in depth on some of the great stories that everyone shared about things they did to try to change the momentum. It's kind of wild because Gabe and I down on the sidelines, I don't think we really did anything to try to change the momentum. But Toby and the guys in the broadcast booth went with their hoodies up on their sweatshirts. A lot of you talked about watching the games from different rooms in the house. I think we had one that said, I started sitting on the floor after sitting on the couch and then standing the rest of the game. Just I know probably in the whole scheme of things in life, it really doesn't make a difference. But it's just kind of fun to think we all have our quirky, wild things that truly deep down inside, we hope, kind of helps change the momentum. But on Saturday, what really changed the momentum for the Sooners more than anything else was forcing a turnover. And it finally came after five games. The Sooners did it on the first possession for Baylor in the third quarter. How about this stat? Since the last turnover the Sooners forced, they were minus nine in turnover differential. And think about this. In those games, they won all but one. I mean, that's crazy. If any team is in the red like that in the turnover differential, how much trouble they would be in. So, obviously, Lincoln Riley has some thoughts on that coming up later in our presser pod. But let's start by hearing from the captain of the Sooner defense, Kenneth Murray.
Just how special was that rally for this team in Waco?
It's just a group of guys, you know, a team just, you know, continuing to battle. Never losing the faith, and it's pretty special. Just seeing what we did and able to, you know, come back and just never lose faith in each other and just continue to fight.
How wild is it to think that Alex Grinch had actually shown some footage from the Patriots' comeback against the Falcons, and then the same thing happened?
It was pretty crazy. You know, was kind of joking with him, you know, after the game, because as that was going on, you know, kind of Atlanta Falcons, they tweeted out a little tweet. SportsCenter kind of got a hold of it and was talking about it. And, you know, I had showed him, you know, Coach Grinch's tweet, and, you know, he kind of laughed and he was like, I didn't want you guys to take it literally and, you know, go out there and literally go down 28-3 and then, you know, come back and obviously win. But, just proud of the team, proud of the way we fought. Proud of the way that, you know, we listen to our coaches and continue to stay in the battle.
The ball comes out when Motley punches it out. Pat Fields makes the recovery. What kind of vindicating moment is that for these coaches to say, we preach turnovers, you get one, look at the difference it makes. Sooners might not have scored on that next drive, but it really changed the whole tone, didn't it?
Yeah. You know, our coaches tell us all the time, you know, takeaways equal victory. And, you know, we were able to get, you know, two critical takeaways at critical times in the game. And, you know, ended up to us getting a victory. So it's just so important that, you know, it's all about the ball.
You know, you talk a lot about it being about you guys. So what was that big adjustment when it came to, let's just say specifically, the quarterback runs that are giving them so much success? Was it a change or was it just better execution?
It was just better execution. You know, just us just really just calming down and just doing our jobs. You know, we felt like, you know, we gave up a couple in the first half, but, you know, we knew, you know, it was a football game and, you know, it's going to be ups and downs in that game. And, you know, they were a good football team, so we would just continue to keep believing, continue to, you know, have faith, and we just, you know, continue to fight.
This team as a whole, what does it say to have this mindset and this mentality that you're never out of a game and come back and put up a win like that?
It's huge. You know, at this point, you know, we really feel like we can do anything. And we understand that, you know, no matter what, you know, if we just continue to fight and do what we're supposed to do, then, you know, we're never out of any fight.
All right, so 24-hour rule over. Give me your thoughts on TC. What have you seen from Max Duggan and the squad so far as you started to prep for the last home game?
You know, great team. You know, they got some really good backs. And, you know, they're able to, you know, spread it around a lot on offense. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting after those guys this Saturday.
I know maybe this is more of a post-game Saturday conversation, but what are those emotions like when you go into a game that you know is going to be the final home game?
You know, it's a lot of emotions, to be honest. You know, obviously you want to close it out strong here, you know, being at home. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of emotions come Saturday.
And it was a big day for one Ronnie Perkins, 3 sacks. That is the most sacks that the Sooners have had in a game from an individual since Charles Tapper did it in 2014. And Perk was feeling pretty good about this team, not just now, but going forward.
What was clicking? You had every move down at a time at one point on Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, I kind of did. As the game went on, I just grew my confidence more. After getting those first two, I just, man, I could get another one. So towards the end of the game, I went out on that last drive and got another one. And I feel like it helped the team secure a win.
How did that permeate through everybody? Whenever you're having success, they see you getting after the quarterback. I mean, obviously there were some tough times there, but how did you guys stay positive? How did you stay positive?
At the end of the day, as Coach Grinch always say, you know, every play somebody got to make a play, so why not have it be you? So, I mean, I just wanted to try to get a team a spark, you know, keep the guys up on the sideline, show them that I was keep fighting, you know, so some of them could probably just follow in my footsteps, like, all right, he keep fighting, so I'm going to keep fighting, I'm going to try to make a play after he made one. So I was just trying to give us a spark on defense.
You know, going back just real quick, being a 3-1-4 guy, St. Louis guy, what brought you to Oklahoma? What kind of stood out about Norman to you?
I mean, the tradition, like, everybody know about the University of Oklahoma from the old days to, like, the 2000s to now. So, like, the tradition, the way Coach Tibbs recruited me, you know, he a great recruiter, he a great coach, a great guy. So, like, the way they just was treating me on my visits when I came, I just fell in love with it.
Any final thought before I let you go? How can this be a trampoline, kind of help catapult this team the rest of the year and continue to build your confidence?
It definitely shows that we can easily fight through adversity, you know, whatever happens throughout these next few games. We just keep fighting and definitely keep swinging, as Coach Grinch would say. let's keep swinging through these next few games and fight through the adversity we may come upon.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And then finally, the ultimate bounce back game for Sooner captain Jalen Hurts. As he said, boo-boo, I think, was the term he used in the post-game in the first half. But they won the day, and now their goal was to win today, win tomorrow, and hope in the end win out. But here was Jalen at the presser.
Take me through what clicked. What really started getting this thing going the right direction on Saturday?
I think we there wasn't a doubt, and I think we all believed. We believed in each other. We came together, and it was great for us.
How important was it for you to let your teammates know how much that meant to you in the locker room postgame, that they had your back?
They definitely had my back. Talk about me being the new guy here virtually. You know, just different emotions every week playing with this group, and I love it, and I'm looking forward to what's to come. But right now, we're focused on TCU and being 1-0 this week.
Gary Patterson, a good coach, great defensive mind. What have you seen from the Horned Frogs so far?
Yeah, I think they run the scheme really well, very disciplined in what they do, and they're a good football team, so I think we have to come ready to attack practice and get ready for them.
You mentioned it. You have confidence in all your guys, but it had to be somewhat reassuring on that big stage to see a Theo Weiss and to see these young guys step up.
Yeah, most definitely. I think they're all great players, and I think they'll only continue to get better. So you know, if we want to do the things you want to do, we're going to need every person on this team. So we just got to continue to take those steps, and everybody matters.
You've said it, Coach Riley has said it, the best football is ahead of this team. What's the next step to get to playing your best football?
Well, we want to win the day first. You know, we want to go out there and have a good, productive day at practice today, and go from there, you know.
Congrats on the win. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That's Jalen Hurts.
So there's the three Sooner players that were at the luncheon today. Lincoln Riley is coming up here in mere moments. But before we welcome in the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, I want to remind you that now is the time to commit for 2020. That's right. The Sooner Club. Commit. Become a part of, become a member, become a family member of the Sooner Club. Donations directly impact the lives of every single student athlete in Crimson and Cream. And there's never been a better time to be a member of the Sooner Club than now. They have new payment options in 2020, including a five-month plan that's available for members to spread payments out leading up to the March 31st deadline. Members who opt into the payment plan before the end of November, so you're running out of time, also will receive up to 150 bonus points for the upcoming year. It's important to be a part of the Sooner Club because you make an immediate impact in the lives of the student athletes in these programs. You help with facility projects, there's nutrition resources, academic support, travel, professional development, and psychological resources. Sooner Club staff are ready to discuss all these items with you. You can go to thesoonerclub.com or call 405-325-8000. As we sign off this edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast, we bring in the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, Lincoln Riley.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.
Excited certainly for the last home game. It's kind of crazy to think that senior night and our last game here for this team is already here. It's, we say it every year, but it really does fly by. So certainly excited coming off the win against Baylor. Should be a really fun week getting ready to prepare against a very good TCU team that's really, in my opinion, improved a lot throughout the season, playing very well right now. Had a big win up at Texas Tech last week. We all know how tough it is to win there. Playing extremely good defensively, like they always do. A lot of new faces on that defense, but they're playing like TCU does on defense. So it's no surprise. Coach Patterson, as I've always said, is one of the best at what he does. Offensively, a lot of really, really good playmakers. Couple really good backs. The young quarterback's playing well for him. Talented skill group led by Jalen Rager. Guys we've played, know about, tough to stop. So should be a fun week. Looking forward to a great crowd. Got to have our place rocking 7:00 Saturday night. You know, last one. Need to make it our best, both us as a team, fan base, everybody. Let's go have a great evening.
Lincoln, 20 years ago when Mike Leach brought the air raid here, there was no quarterback run game, and there was certainly no methodical time drives where they had four plays in the third quarter and then 16, I think, total.
Right.
So talk about the evolution of how you changed this, the air raid, from what it was.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. We were very similar at Texas Tech throughout those years, and then we got to East Carolina, and we didn't have as good of players relative to most of the people we played, or as talented of players, and so we had to just continue to adapt. And then always just my philosophy was, I loved how we threw the ball. I thought there were times at Texas Tech where not being able to run it or at times control it hurt us as good as we were offensively. I thought there were some opportunities there, and we had always kind of dreamed up that if you could have a great running game combined with the throw game and the mentality of kind of the air raid principles, that you could have something pretty good. And so we started doing it a little bit more last few years at East Carolina, and then that was one of the exciting things coming here is, you know, you felt like with the linemen you could get here, that kind of backs you can get at Oklahoma, that could be a decent combination. I think it has been. And then, yeah, and then some of the run game has just been obviously not just about the O-line and the running back personnel, but certainly the quarterback personnel. You know, the three starters we've had here, you know, have all been a little bit different in that regard. We've all used them in different ways, and that certainly served us well the other night.
You know, Lincoln, the tale of the two halves of this game is interesting because, you know, in the first half, nothing goes right. You even make you have more penalties than they do. But then when you guys put it together, and they can't stop you, you stop yourself, you know, on their one drive. What does it really say about your team as you move forward in the final three or four games, huge games you've got to play, of just how good you guys can be?
Yeah, I mean, we've developed some toughness. I think we've come together in maybe a little bit different way as a team over the last several weeks. And, I mean, it sets the stage to go play well here at the end, but we still have to go do it. I mean, it's, you know, that's the momentum of winning a game like that is great, but it's not going to be enough to beat TCU. I mean, you got to go put it into action. And so the things that we did well as a team, the mentality of the team, that's, you want that to continue and grow, and then some of the things that we didn't do well that caused us to be in a hole in the first place, we're certainly going to have to do better. So it's exciting, but we got to go do something with it, and that'll be our message to the guys.
Jenny Carlson.
Lincoln, obviously everybody was celebrating as they should be after that game on Saturday, but Jalen, such an even keel guy, we really saw him enjoy that moment. What do you think was sort of wrapped up in that? And you know, he like your other seniors, he's kind of coming down to the end here. Do you feel like he's maybe seeing things? Is there any sort of change that, you know, maybe was part of that too for him?
I told Jalen before he came here that, you know, if he did come here, that one of my goals was going to be for him to be able to enjoy it. You know, and to have fun with it. I think that's an important part of this game. And, you know, I've had guys like him before that take it so seriously. And he does have fun. He has more fun with it than probably you guys see on the outside, certainly. And, but, yeah, no, it's fun to see. I mean, it just – and I think the joy was in, you know, what the team was able to do and having each other's backs and you know, really trusting it. When it would have been easy to fold or easy to get away from what we're doing or easy to not believe in each other, and to kind of hang in there in that moment was, you know, where his and a lot of our joy came from.
Lincoln, every time we ask you about the playoff, you go to winning takes care of all that. Yep. And I get it. And you got a big one, obviously, Saturday night. Having said that, does winning without a player as important as CeeDee Lamb, should that give you higher marks?
I don't know. I mean, it's you know, some adversity that we've had. I mean, we've had, obviously not having CD the other night, you know, was a factor. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of players we don't have right now. We've lost a lot of guys this year, a lot of season enders, and so we've been able to fight through. I mean, I think it says a lot about our team. You know, what we can be and what we're pushing through. But a lot of people are pushing through, you know, different injuries, guys banged up. I mean, that's part of it. But so I don't know. I don't know how to answer it. You know, that's a better question for Joe.
Tyler Pompadour.
Lincoln, you guys always pride yourself on getting a lot of different receivers involved. But what specifically was the benefit, you think, moving forward of getting Lee Morris a handful of catches the other night, especially considering Grant Calcaterra's status is a little up in the air? And also, could you comment on maybe where Grant's at?
Yeah, Lee was a huge part of the game. He played excellent. Jalen did a good job finding him on a number of occasions. You know, and our guys outside have gotten some attention, and so it's, even with CD not there, it was, you know, important to be able to attack some people over the middle, and then Lee just made some clutch big time catches. I mean, several of the catches he got hit a little bit and able to hang on. I mean, it's what he's done his entire career here. So now, great to see, and he's always played well at the end of years and in big games, and you know, I'm sure that, you know, Jalen already certainly had high confidence in him, but that certainly didn't hurt. Yeah, Grant's status still won't be available this week. You know, could continue to monitor, but not ready.
Eric Bailey.
Can you talk a little bit about just the recruiting of Gabe Burkage? How did you find him, and how did you get him on campus? And then also, those drive, that last drive setting up the final field goal, just kind of memorable. Or just think back to the 2017 K-State game, 2018 Army, how you kind of got yourself in position.
Yeah. Yeah, Gabe's recruitment, you know, Coach Boulware, you know, and Ryan Doherty in our office, they both kind of identified him, liked him, thought he was a really, really talented kid, you know, and looking at kind of where we were with Austin getting ready to leave, it was a year we were certainly interested in taking a kicker, and so we kind of, you know, if you're going to scholarship a specialist, you got to be right, you know. And a lot of times we've been able to go the walk-on route at times with guys, and then, you know, get a couple of great ones and let them compete, and then scholarship the person who wins it. But we just felt like in the end that Gabe was good enough, you know, that he was good enough to do it, and we thought he had the power to be good on kickoffs. He got the ball up quick. I mean, he was really, really talented, and felt like if we could just develop him a little bit, he had a chance to be pretty good, and he's certainly proven that. And then, yeah, the drive at the end. It's when you have confidence in your kicker, it certainly that factors into your mind. I mean, we definitely wanted to score a touchdown, but certainly once we got inside the, you know, 35-yard line, you know, we felt pretty decent about our chances of making a kick. And so, you're aware of that. Certainly you don't want to go backwards. You know, Jalen did a great job on the one bad snap that Creed have of throwing the ball away. That was a huge, huge play in the game. And then we were able to kind of gain positive yards. We were really close to popping the screen there at the end and maybe scoring on that one, but we didn't. And, yeah, you know, had a lot of confidence in Gabe, and I've said it a bunch. I know it gets overlooked, but, yeah, Gabe's been great. But, you know, having two guys like Casey and Connor, man, I'm just telling you, that's just as important as kicking that thing through there. And those three guys have all operated at a high level, and they did it again in a critical situation.
Yeah, Lincoln, R.J. Proctor replaced Eric Swanson in the first half. Is that performance-based, or did something happen to Eric? And what is the versatility and experience of Proctor meant to this team throughout the season?
Yeah, no, Eric was fine. We'd planned the whole time to play R.J. We thought he had earned the right to play him some, and then as R.J. got in there, thought he was playing well, and we gave him a couple of series, and then we kind of started to settle in and got on a roll, and so we ended up just leaving him in. So, RJ's – no, he has. He's been important. He's obviously played different positions for us, been able to come in and do that as a graduate transfer. You know, he stayed extremely positive through the playing some and then not playing some and some of the back and forth. He's worked hard at it and put himself in position to really contribute here a lot at the end of the season.
Parnell told us after the game that you guys showed him some video from Super Bowl 51, the Patriots' big comeback. Who's responsible for thinking up that kind of prophetic situation? And is that, have you thought about just showing him the 49ers Broncos Super Bowl 55-10?
Yeah, you stole the quote from me. We had talked a lot through the week about just the different adversities you face and sticking together as a team, and really it was put a little bit more, a little in a different way than that, but that was kind of a part of our theme for the week. And so we had a couple videos we showed the team, and I think that particular one was one that Coach Grant showed the defense throughout the week. So yeah, I'll tell him to pick one where we don't get down so far next time.
Yeah, Lincoln, I'm curious about the extremes that we've seen that this team has shown the last three games. You said after the Iowa State game that the first half was probably as good as you've seen out here, and you could probably say the same thing about the second half of the Baylor game. Throw the Kansas State game, how that was up and down. How do you account for that? Those unbelievable extremes in the course of one 60-minute game, and how do you try to level that out going forward?
I mean, I think the answer to those things is always, we always want to jump to conclusions one way or another. I mean, the answer is usually somewhere in the middle. I thought, you know, we were a fraction off, you know, in the first half against Baylor. And they, you know, I give Baylor a lot of credit. I mean, they made some really, really nice plays on really all three sides of the ball against us. And it gets against good competition. Again, the margin is so thin. I mean, it's not like, you know, we weren't just god awful in the first half, and we weren't, and then the flip side of that, we weren't the greatest team ever in the second half. It was just the margins are that thin, and we were able to get some momentum and clean up some of those small little mistakes, and that was enough for the difference. And so you're going to have those runs back and forth when you're playing good teams. We certainly, you know, our goal, no doubt, is to be able to play more consistently here in the last few games of the season. I liked where our team was emotionally all the way throughout the game last week. We've got to be ready to lay it on the line emotionally again this week and then play a little bit cleaner throughout.
Coach, you guys have 6 November wins over the last 2 years. 5 of them are by 5 points or fewer. One way or another, you guys keep finding a way to win these games. A comeback, a big play on offense, big play on defense. Obviously, this is a pattern that goes beyond X's and O's. What is it about the people you have here that allows them to find it in themselves to keep making these plays at crunch time?
Well, I think we believe in ourselves. I think we believe in that regardless of how the game's going, good, bad, whatever, that we can find a way to do it. I've said a lot. We've really worked hard to try to improve throughout the years. And a lot of times these November games tend to be against the best teams too, you know. And so we've done it against some good competition. We had obviously, you know, played a great team the other night. We're getting ready to play a really good football team here coming up again. So, I mean, it's – yeah, no, we found a way. I do think it's some of the culture in this place and the teams that we've had and players that are, you know, winning games and having a chance to win a championship at the end of the season has been of the utmost importance to them.
Ryan Aber.
Lincoln, you talked about Lee Morris a little bit ago. I'm curious what you make of the way he handled things early in the season when he wasn't a big part of this offense and how that's helped him be productive here late in the season.
Yeah, he's been probably one of our most unselfish players for the entire time he's been here. I mean, you know, one, he came here as a walk-on. You know, probably shouldn't have been, you know, and then he's played on darn near every special teams, that every one of them that we've had. You know, kind of been a kind of a jack of all trades offensively, you know. He never says a word. He just works, shows up. He's there every single day. He's really tough. He's really made himself into a really, really good football player. So, I'm not surprised at all with how he handled it. I would have never worried about that with him at all, but that's part of why he's the player he is and a good example for a lot of young guys.
Yeah, the contributions you got from some of your young receivers, how much confidence in the big stage does that give you in using them more going forward?
No, it was good. I mean, there was a lot of the biggest plays in the game, which is, you know, it's exciting for us. I mean, this team now, but exciting for, you know, our program in the future is a lot of the biggest plays in the game were made by, you know, freshmen and sophomores. And so that's pretty fun to see. No, it can be a great confidence boost for those guys, and you know, confidence in our older guys to give them opportunities, and confidence in coaches to give them opportunities, and we're certainly going to need them.
Coach, do you expect C.D. Lamb to be able to play? And you had 2 or 3 other guys play the other night, like Ely, that you mentioned were kind of nicked up, but were able to play through it. Are you going to have those guys moving forward if there's no injuries this week?
Yeah, I would anticipate the guys that played. I mean, it's into the year. You're going to have some guys banged up, but I think the guys that played have all got a pretty good shot to be available for us. CD's still going to be up in there. I mean, we haven't seen our guys yet this week with Sunday being our off day. It's not a definite no, but certainly not a definite yes right now.
Barry Trammell?
Yeah, Gary Patterson said this morning that he went home and just watched your game live. Said it looked like to him in the first half, you guys played without a lot of energy. And then in the second half, it looked like Baylor sort of got maybe depleted on the energy
left, when he thought both of you had had two really tough games before and it's just hard to maintain that kind of energy level week after week after week. Is that a factor in anything we saw Saturday night?
Oh, no. That was probably the most excited we've been to play all year. I mean, yeah. I know TV doesn't always portray it, but no, our sideline, our kids ready to play that game. I would almost argue that we maybe had a little bit too much early, but certainly wasn't for lack of it, no.
Darren?
Lincoln, I'm sorry if you addressed this in post-game. I went down there, but the play that Jalen made on the field goal drive where the ball's 10 or 15 yards behind him, and he's scrambling back not just to maintain possession but to gather himself and basically save the down, save the yardage.
Yep.
Anyway, that I mean, you, I guess the first thing is keep possession, but for him not just to do that but to save you yardage, just address just how unique that is.
It's good. I mean, we coach that. You know, I can't. He's probably sick of watching it now. I got a good example. I don't have to show this one anymore, but I've showed them the clip of Baker doing that against Auburn in the Sugar Bowl. I think it was late in the third, maybe. And we snapped it over his head, and he did the same thing, probably saved us 20 yards. I think we ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. And I've showed them that a lot of times. Every time we have a bad snap in practice, they know that clip's coming next because it's – you know, there's other factors, you know, that have to be present to you know, make it an incomplete pass and not a penalty and all that. But, yeah, just really good awareness by Jalen in the moment and was able to scoop it clean. And, yeah, I mean, that's no different than completing a really tough 20-yard pass down the middle. I mean, that's because obviously that's probably about what it saved us.
Lincoln, I know that the guys have to go out and execute, but in a game like we saw Saturday, are there things that you say to your guys? Do you try to keep it the same to maintain that, you know, it's this is still a normal setup, or do you have to change it up? Do you have to draw on things from your past to try to change what you're seeing out of your guys?
Well, I think there's two sides of it. I mean, I think you go into each game with, you know, some really key points that we know we have to do well. And then, but then, you know, the game is always so unpredictable. I mean, that's not in our wildest dreams that we had thought it would have started like that. And so I do think, you know, you've got to be ready to adjust. And a lot of our message stayed the same. Some of it was just continuing to trust the original message, even though this isn't going the way that we want it to. And honestly, probably a large portion of it was that. And I think we were able to draw back on our experience at Kansas State. And I think, I know I said it over and over, and it's probably boring to you guys, but we were able to really draw back on the week that we had. I mean, that's even down 28-3 on the road when nothing's going right, the week that we had did happen. And you are prepared, and you are very capable. And to not forget that just because of the circumstances. And our guys, they absolutely believed it.
You mentioned not being worried about Lee Morris not playing a big role in the first half of the season. What about guys like Jaden Hazelwood, yep, Theo Weiss, who probably came in expecting to be big parts right off the bat? Was it tough to get them to trust the process?
Oh, I think it's for a young guy. I think it's always tougher. And you want guys that want to play. I mean, if they're okay just standing over the sidelines or not playing, then they're not the right guy either. So there's a very, very fine line. And those guys have handled it well. I mean, they want opportunities. You know, they want the chance to play more. I mean, Stogner, there's a bunch of guys on our team in that situation. And they want those opportunities. And so – but there's two things. I mean, they have to understand, one, the great plays or highlight plays you make are great, but the opportunities go to the ones that are the most consistent. And you've got to go prove that you're deserving of those reps. And then there's also times, and again, Lee's a great example, where he's got a lot of reps and has some games where not many balls come his way, and then all of a sudden he has a huge night for us. And that's it can go that way too. And, you know, we've got we're lucky that we've got some old guys that are very unselfish that have been through this that can be great examples to those guys. And I think in large part they've handled it well. And then, you know, when they got an opportunity on a big stage, they were ready.
Lincoln, talk about just Ronnie Perkins' performance this past weekend and just what he has meant and how he's grown this season with the defense.
Yeah, no, he was awesome the other night. He really was. He was our defensive player of the game. Had three big sacks, another big tackle for loss. You know, he is, you know, Neville's really gotten a lot of attention inside, and that's created some opportunities on the edges for a lot of one-on-ones with our guys, and our guys have got to be able to win those, and Ronnie was able to win his fair share the other night. So that's he's definitely evolved and growing as a player. He's becoming – starting, I feel like, to take some of those steps of you flash some as a freshman, and he did a lot of good things, but starting to certainly become a more consistent player. And I think the scheme has really fit his skill set well, and but certainly he had some, you know, some huge ones the other night.
James?
Jalen Redmond has battled for playing time with Stokes, but it looked like he had a kind of a coming out game. He just seemed to be all over the field. What about his development?
Yeah, he was active. He played certainly one of his better games. He was very active the other night. I thought he was one of the guys, really our whole team, but he was kind of like the team in that he had a tremendous week of practice, was extremely active through the week, and so wasn't really surprised to see him, you know, create a lot of havoc the other night. So, and he is just – he's just still scratching the surface of how good he can be. I mean, it's you know, he's got to keep developing, but he could really, really be a good player. I mean, there's no doubt. And nights like the other night, I think, build his confidence, and he's just got to keep going and having weeks like he did last week.
Barry?
Yeah. Lincoln, did you guys go to more vertical running game in the second half? And was that the 32-yard run by Kennedy? Mm-hmm. When you were second and 19, how tough was a call that for you to run the ball on second and 19 backed up in your own end?
I don't remember it being that tough. I mean, I don't get caught up a whole lot in runs and passes. We just call the best play in the moment. I mean, I think when you do that, you all of a sudden you cut off half of what you could call. I mean, I've just never called plays like that. Run game-wise, there's a few little adjustments throughout the game. I thought we had a pretty decent mix. You know, we got the ball on the edge there. A couple times we were able to penetrate through the middle. So we always want to try to, you know, attack the defense in several different ways with the run game. There wasn't a whole lot different, I would say, that we called. Executed a little bit better in the second half. We had some good runs in the first half, too, but executed a little bit better. And we're really close to popping a couple of more. So. But now schematically, I would say overall not a whole lot different.
Jalen's heading into a senior game on Saturday. Has his impact away from the football field been what you wanted it to be on, especially guys like Spencer Rattler and those young freshman receivers that came in?
Yeah, no, he's had a really good impact on our program, our guys. You know, seen a guy that, you know, prepares like he's a pro and has a great mindset and approach, and then certainly some of the ways handled, you know, the different things throughout the season, you know, coming in, trying to learn a new offense fast, the different challenges with that, you know, trying to become a leader on a team of guys that you don't know, you know, some of the adversity throughout the season. I mean, it's no doubt it's, you know, that's what you hope you have. You hope you have really good guys in each of these rooms that when they leave, there's still lessons and they've, you know, the guys in there have taken a lot from him, and it makes them even better.
Baker obviously had his second half against Tennessee in 2015. It was Kyler in Texas last year and Jalen the other night. What kind of the flip is switched for those quarterbacks that you've seen where they just not as played their best ball in the first half and then obviously did what he did in the second half?
Well, I mean, they're all capable of it because all three of those guys are mentally tough and they're all extreme competitors. You know, and if you're truly that, then the game, how the game's going, you don't view it as a fan. You just continue to compete, and you got to think that way just to give yourself a chance, and then obviously you got to go out and do it. And they've all been capable of it, and they've all had a supporting cast that's helped them do it.
Okay, last question, John Hoover. pressure's on. Baylor might have the best defense overall in the Big 12. I think maybe you guys make a case for that now. But did you sense during the game, because of the play disparity and the time disparity in the second half, did you sense that they were getting tired? Did you get on the headsets and say, "We got them now, boys, they're tired," or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, just because, you know, a lot of our guys are playing the same amount of snaps too. You know, there's times against certain teams, maybe a team that doesn't sub a whole lot or this or that, that can happen. But I mean, you know, we're playing virtually the same linemen all the game too. We're playing the same quarterback for the most part, played the same running back, rotated receivers a little bit. So I mean, I didn't sense that a ton. I mean, both teams were a little tired at the end. It was just, I think some of it was the amount of plays, and some of it was just those games like that are heavy hitters, man. I mean, games like that, guys are always kind of spent, you know, at the end of the night, just because every play is full speed, and it's physical, and it's an emotional, and so I think probably more a result of that than anything.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.